I have a word. The Lord gave this, as the Lord speaks a word to me, I really try to deliver it the same way he speaks it to me. I try to say the same things. And so this morning, I'm going to endeavor to actually speak his word to you as he shared it with me. There's three things I want to cover. One is the multi-sided wisdom of God. As I started getting into this, I thought, well, I'm going to do a seminar on this, maybe a weekend seminar. And the Lord showed me within moments that all I would do is scratch the surface. So in a 35-minute time of teaching, 15 minutes delivered to the multi-sided wisdoms of God, I really can't say much. But I really hope to stir your heart. I hope to have your eyes opened and almost challenge you to ask things out of the Lord in showing you some of this. The second thing I want to talk about is the power that dwells inside you and I as we're born again because of this many-sided wisdom. The third thing I'm just going to make at the end, I'm just going to make a comment on something the Lord has opened my eyes up to. It's one of God's intentions or purpose for the church, and maybe you've never read this before, so you might find it kind of intriguing. Now, I wonder how many of us woke up this morning thinking, I'm a U.S. citizen. Oh, yeah. My heritage. I was freed from Britain. Much bloodshed has given me this freedom. The First and Second World War gave me all this freedom. Now, I doubt that any of you woke up like that. Now, I did because I'm preaching. But I was sitting down reading and studying one day, and the Lord spoke that to me. Then he said, Bill, also, those who are saved, he said, do you think they wake up? I'm a saved man. I'm blood-bought, born again, spirit-filled, being changed into the likeness of Christ with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, with the power of God. I'm saved. Yeah. Now, I know you didn't wake up like that this morning. Now, maybe some of you did. I woke up like that because I'm preaching on it. But God's heart is that because something so unique and so special took place in your life, that it is that daily thought about, because if not, the distractions of this world will take it right out of you. Let me read one scripture concerning this. In Colossians 3, 1 through 3, let me read this to you. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden now in God. Now, you have to work a job. God says you should work. You got to cut your grass. God didn't say you had to cut your grass, but your neighbors will tell you you should if you don't. There's things we have to do, but he's given us a mind. He's created us with a mind where we can have our attention on very important things, though we're not doing them all the time. And one of the things our attention must be on is this great salvation that we've received and what it's done for us and what he expects out of us. And it's incredible to even think, after you're saved, that you could even forget about it. It's like, it doesn't even sound real, but it is real. Matthew 13:7 talks about the sowing of the seed. And in one place it says, some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked the seed. And in verse 22, it gives the interpretation that it says, now he who received the seed among the thorns, that's the word of God in his life. It's he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, it becomes unfruitful. You know, that can happen any time in your Christian life. I've had that happen to me. I mean, I'm not proud of it, but I've had that happen to me. I'm on medication to quit coughing. My tongue is sticking to my lips. That's why I'm drinking so much water. There's also one other scripture I want to prove a point on this. In 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, it talks about the attributes of the Lord. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And the only way those can be added to is by staying close to the Lord, by being in His Word and being close to the Lord in prayer. It says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, listen to this. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's just hard to believe that that can happen when something so special in your life takes place and you find out Jesus Christ is real and he died for you and you've given your life to him. But it says it in the Word that that can take place. The Lord really wants to stop that in any of our lives. Now, let's take a peek, and it's only a peek at the multi-sided wisdom of God. And we'll see there's a great display of his multi-sided wisdom when we start looking at salvation. I want to read one scripture to you here. Now, I'm going to jump around. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians most of the time. But I want to read 1 Peter 1. Listen to this. Now, we're talking about the multi-sided wisdom, how all the wisdom that God has, so much we will never see it or comprehend it, I don't think, in this lifetime. I don't think we will. Okay, here, 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers, but with precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Now he's talking about the sacrifice that was given for you to be forgiven for your sins. Now listen to verse 20. This is what I'm going to call your attention to. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. What they're saying, Jesus Christ, the plan in God's mind for you to be redeemed and to be forgiven for your sins and to be changed, that all occurred before the foundation of the world. Some translations say before the foundation of the universe. See, there was never a plan B. Right. And I've heard Christians, and I've heard people talk, I've heard on television, different programs, God had to go to plan B because he designed his creation, and his creation failed. They sinned. No. Plan A. Plan A was always in effect, and it began clear back before the foundations of the world. I wish there was more insight into that. There isn't. But in God's thinking and design, that was all taken care of before he even created the world. Oh, I'll tell you, no plan B. He knew what he was doing. You know, he created man to fellowship with him, to love him, and in this creation, for us to love him and to worship him and have relationship with him, he created us with a free will. My tongue is sticking again. He created us with a free will. Well, that caused a lot of trouble. If Adam hadn't done it, Eve would have done it. If Eve hadn't done it, you would have done it. We have this free will. Now, remember, clear back before the foundation of the earth was ever laid, he knew he was going to have a creation. He was going to give him a free will. David really expresses this well in Psalms 51:6. Let me tell you what he says. He says, you are pleased with sincerity of heart. That's what God's pleased with, a sincerity of heart. The honesty coming from you. You know, he didn't create robots to love him. That wasn't the deal. He wanted to have this free will, and he wanted a sincerity of heart. It says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart. That means a repentant heart. One that just wants to say, Lord, I'm really sorry for my sin. I want to love you. Now, he paid a price for that in his creation because he knew clear back before the foundations of the earth that you were going to be created and you were going to have sin in your life because of the fall, and there had to be that had to be addressed. So God created a man. He gave him a free will. He sinned. And because of God's character, one of the biggest parts of God's character is his righteousness. Because of his righteousness, now he's got to bring judgment on the sin. There's no getting out of it. So what's he going to do? Well, even in his own word, I think it's in Romans 9, chapter 9, I'm not sure what verse, but it talks about the only way sin can be paid for is by the shedding of blood. So what's he going to do? Go around and kill us all? There wouldn't be anybody left. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one left. Now, this is better than a science fiction movie. Nobody could make this up. So what did he do? Long before the foundations of the world were laid, he knew he was going to create man. He knew he was going to have a free will. He knew he was going to sin. He knew there needed to be a sacrifice. And he sure didn't want to kill all of his creation. But humanity sinned. Humanity had to pay the price. What's he do? Now, see, you already know. Now, a lot of unsaved people don't know, but you already know. He overshadows a virgin, a young virgin, a young woman with his Holy Spirit. He overshadows her. He allows her to become pregnant without ever knowing a man. I mean, I don't know how many of us would ever come up with that idea. I mean, it's no wonder unsaved people don't understand us. You know, think about it. So he overshadows this young lady, and she becomes pregnant. When Jesus is born, he's 100% man. He was born in flesh and blood. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our mind around it. But he was also 100% God. The seed that pregnated that woman was the Spirit of God that pregnated her. It's amazing. I mean, it's totally amazing. Now, again, you're not too amazed because you know the story. But to come from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, the Lord had all this in his thoughts, all in his mind, and he laid it all out. This is the way it's going to happen. Now, this is a side note, and I really like these things in the Word of God. You know, we know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and because of God's multi-wisdom, he came up with all this. Here's a side note. It's in Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, and among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he, God, purchased with his own blood. It was the man Christ Jesus. When he was born, they said, you'll call his name Emmanuel. The interpretation of Emmanuel is God with us. He was God's son, but it was actually God in the flesh. And a lot of people in different religions can't quite grasp that. It says in another translation, it says here, to shepherd the church, that is, tend and feed and guide the church, of the Lord God, which he, God, obtained for himself, buying and saving it for himself, God, with his own blood. I just like that kind of stuff. So he was 100% man, 100% God. Now, he's got this creation. They're created. They've sinned. He has the plan worked out to be forgiven. The plan is that Jesus would grow without sin, go be sacrificed, blood, like God said, blood has to be required. He would give his blood. But there's still one problem. After you've been, the sacrifice has been given, you're still the same person. Remember in the Old Testament? Once a year they took their sacrifices. God oversaw their sin, forgot it for a year. They were the same people. What do you do about that? Listen to what he says here. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Again, the prophets are getting the word from the Lord that he had designed before the foundation of the earth. This is all laid in. Listen to what it says here in Ezekiel 36, 23 through 26. And I, now this is Ezekiel speaking the word of the Lord to these people, to Israel. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take from you among the nations, gather you out of the countries, bring you into your own land. Now listen to this. Then I will sprinkle you with clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of a stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. He had it figured out. He's not only going to forgive his creation, he's going to make them able to be right, to walk in righteousness by giving him his spirit. Now, doesn't that sound kind of familiar, John 3, 3? When Jesus tells Nicodemus, you had to be born again. Now, that doesn't make sense to unsaved people, but being born again happens when you've heard the word that Jesus Christ is real, that he was born of a virgin, he lived, he was sinless, and then he was crucified, God's intent, he was crucified and shed blood for your sin. And when the Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart, and you say, yes, Lord, I believe that, I want that, at that moment, the Spirit of God is imparted into you. I mean, this isn't just words. The Holy Spirit actually comes in you. Linda and I we have some friends. This guy down at the mill, he worked night turn. I was on daylight. He was an electrician. And about once a week, I needed my stinger change. It's your holder you use an electrode in. So his job was to come over before he went home and change my electrode. And some big burly guy with a stogie in his mouth, he'd get down on his knees, changing my stinger. And while he's down there, I always tried to talk to the guy. Guy never talked to me. I think he resented me because I called him over right before he had to go to work or go home to put this stinger on. And I thought, well, I might as well do something. I just prayed for his soul. Do you know that man got saved about 6 months later? Not because of me, probably Karen, but there was another group in the factory of guys that were electricians that had gotten saved, and they were telling him about the word. He got saved. He and I, to this day, he and I don't know where we first met. We become such a bond to this day. Now, this is 35 years ago. To this day, we're really good friends. Well, shortly after he got saved, he takes me over to his house to show me something, and he said, now, when we go in there, don't tell my wife about this stuff. She don't like talking about God. I said, okay. So he showed me, I wanted to know how to do some tile work, and he showed me some things he did and how to do it. We're walking out, his wife's coming down the steps, and I went over to her, and boy, just started talking to her and telling her stories and telling her about the Lord. And she seemed to be eating it up. We did it for about 15 minutes. He just kind of stood there and didn't say anything. He was probably shook up. I said, well, we'll see you later. We went out the door, and the Spirit of God spoke to me right away and said, I'm going to use you within 2 weeks, and I'm going to use you, and she's going to get saved. So I was able to turn to him, who's a new Christian, and say, hey, let me tell you what the Lord just told me. He said that your wife's going to get saved in about 2 weeks, and I'm going to have something to do with it. He goes, you're kidding me. I said, no. And it happened. 2 weeks later, I had something to do, and she got saved. Well, we go to their house to visit, and we're real excited. She's a new Christian. So what am I going to do? I'm going to tell her about all the power she's got, about the Holy Ghost that's in her. And as soon as I start talking, she freaked out. We had to leave. She did. Do you remember that? Oh, she freaked out. We said, I got in me. And she left. And I looked at Rick and I said, maybe we ought to leave. He goes, yeah, maybe you should. Now, that was 30-some years ago. Oh, they're both serving God today. Wonderful Christian people. They know about the Spirit of God. This was prophesied, what was going to happen, by these prophets. In 1 Peter 1, 10 and 12, listen to this. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. But they didn't even understand it. Do you know it wasn't understood at the birth in Bethlehem? They're all going, a child is born. They didn't understand even then. It was kept a secret all these years before the foundation of the earth was laid. When I say the foundation of the earth, I actually mean the building of the universe. It was kept a secret. It was God's heart. He designed this clear to then. It actually says in verse 12, it says, things which angels wish they could look into. Can you imagine? Here's these angels. You know, angels can't be too stupid. They were designed by God. They did a lot of neat things. I imagine they're pretty intelligent. And they're seeing this thought or what's going on and Jesus being born, and they're thinking, wow, what's he doing? I mean, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I want to read a couple other scriptures concerning this. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 and 8 says, we speak the wisdom of God in mysteries. Now, this is Paul saying it after the fact. After the fact, he understands salvation. We speak the wisdom of God in mysteries, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of glory, clear back before the foundations of the earth, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord God. Do you think if all the evil people, including Satan who was provoking them, if he understood running Jesus to the cross and slaying him, if they understood that that was bringing the salvation to all mankind, that's the last thing that Satan wanted. And he used those wicked people to crucify his son, himself on the cross, that there could be the shedding of blood, that we could be forgiven if we believe that he took our place for our sin, because we know we all sinned. With sin, you can't get into heaven. It's got to be forgiven. They'd have never done it if they had understood. Let me read one more. Paul says in Ephesians 3 through 6, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Now, Paul just didn't one day go, huh, this is pretty cool. I see that baby was born, going to die. No, it didn't happen like that. It was by the revelation of God that Paul understood. Remember, the Lord even knocked him off his horse and called him into the ministry. It was by the revelation of God that he understood this great plan of salvation, this multi-wisdom of God. That's what it says. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. It was a secret, clear up till the very last moment, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy prophets and apostles. Do you realize if you're born again, sitting here right now today, you had something so unique happen to you? It wasn't a swipe of a 40-foot brush and all these people got saved. Oh, they're all going to know. No, it was individually. Think back about your salvation. Now, we may have gotten saved differently. Me, I got saved on Route 2 going up the hill cursing God out. Figure that one out. Well, I was really mad about my life. I didn't understand the truth. And I had nobody else to blame my life on. But one person I could lay it on was God. And I didn't even know him. I was cussing him out, going up Route 2. And the Spirit of God came over me by revelation. And let me see, oh, Jesus died on the cross for me. Oh, what a sinner I am. I got saved right there. See, that's what happened to you individually. You realize how special you are. It wasn't a group deal. It wasn't a bundle deal. You know, it wasn't like that. The Spirit of God came to you and drew you to Himself and shown you. And when you seen that Jesus really had died, you accepted Him. You accepted that sacrifice. And when you did, the Spirit of God came in you. You were born again. Now, if you're sitting here today and you've never been born again, you're not a Christian, you've not been saved, and there's a little bit of an inkling of wondering, I'm a little bit enticed about that. I wonder if there's any truth to this. You're kind of drawn. That's the Holy Spirit doing it with you. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. And all you have to do is want to know. Oh, the Spirit of God will open the eyes of your heart. Next thing you know, you're going to see that Jesus Christ really is real. You ask Him in, and the Spirit of God comes in you. Now, it sounds weird, it's having the Holy Spirit in you. But all of us, the people who are born again here can testify to the things that changed so radically in us. Radical changes the day we got saved. The way we thought, the things. The Bible says you can't even see or perceive the kingdom of God unless you're born again. We had no concept of heaven or hell. But as soon as you're saved, the Spirit of God gives you the revelation, and oh my, you know it's real. You've never seen it physically, but the reality of it is so real in your heart that nobody can pay you money to deny it. I'm going to read one more verse concerning this. Paul says in Colossians 1:26, he says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery." What is the riches of this mystery? This mystery was started that He had in His heart clear back before the foundation of the earth. It was the salvation of man. But what was going to be the pinnacle of this salvation? Here it is. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you." Being born again. Now, I don't know about you, but I think back that God designed this clear before the foundations of the earth. He had this all worked out. He even knew how He was going to let the Spirit of God come in us and change us. You talk about wisdom. I mean, He satisfied His righteousness. He satisfied His judgment. He brought, and He's bringing a people that will really love Him like He wants out of their own free will by having the Spirit of God in you. Now, this multi-sided wisdom of God, if I had to tell you how many sides there are on the multi-sided wisdom of God, I imagine you could run a fence around this whole perimeter of this land we owned here on this building sits on and nail on quarter-inch strips all the way around. How many would you have? Hundreds of thousands. I don't think that would even complement His many-sided wisdom, the wisdom that's in His head, the design. When you think about all the things He had done, I mean, it's tremendous. Now, I'm going to read you a verse. I'm going to read two verses. And I don't think you or I will ever come close to fulfilling or exhausting what I'm going to read to you. It's in Colossians 2:2-3. Now, as I read these words, you have to really think about what they're saying. It's only two short verses. But the impact of what's being said is so tremendous, it's hard to conceive the truth of it. This is what it says. 1 Corinthians 2:2-3. "In Him, Jesus Christ, all the treasures of divine wisdom," all on divine wisdom, "of comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and hidden in Jesus. Oh my. Now, I don't know about you, but it takes reading that about a half a dozen times and then thinking, my gosh, is that true? All this spiritual understanding and divine wisdom, it's all bound in Christ. And Jesus has given us an invitation to come close to him and know him. Well, Bill Powell, what'd you ever learn? Well, I want to tell you a couple things I learned. Right after I got saved, I started going to this church. I don't want to name the church. And they prayed for the sick a lot. I never seen anybody get healed. They'd always say, come back in a week and tell me if you feel better. Well, I read in the Bible, people got healed when you prayed for them. So, Jesus is the one with this comprehensive understanding of all divine wisdom and spiritual understanding. So I kept asking him. Now, I want to tell you, I prayed every day for over 9 months. I was living in Liverpool working in Alliance, and I drove back and forth every day asking him, do you still heal people? Do you heal people? Lord, show me, do you heal people? Well, the more I read, it looked like he healed people. The more I went to church, it looked like he didn't. That's pathetic, isn't it? Then it was close to a year. And then one day, bam, I saw it. My son's fingers were broke. They were healed right in front of my face. Linda wasn't saved yet. She left and went into the kitchen, wouldn't talk to me for an hour. Do you remember that? This whole thing must be real. Oh, I'm telling you, after the Lord gave me that tidbit, I kept praying and I kept saying, Lord, open up your treasures of divine wisdom and comprehension and understanding. Let me understand this. And I started seeing more people get healed and more people get healed. Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, the real deal, you know, not the TV stuff. And no money involved. Broken bones, cancer falling off. Well, then I started thinking, I'd listen to the radio. See, I was soaking up all the information I get when I was saved. And I'd hear the radio say, people on Christian radio say, the Lord doesn't speak to you. He just talks to you through the Bible. Well, I was sure I read stuff in the Bible that didn't say that. And so, now I'm just giving you some examples of me getting close to the Lord and what he did for me because of all this treasure that's bound in him. He'll let it out, but see, it has so much value. You just don't say one day, Lord, tell me about that way, please. No, you got to want to know. Your life's got to be wrapped up in it. I prayed for a long time, Jesus, do you speak to people? Well, because in my reading, you know, I'm reading the Word. I read one day in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Well, I think chapter verse 7 and 8 say, I'm going to read this to you. Let me read this to you. It's a pathetic song. It's really an awful song. They wrote a song about this. And they cut the song too short. Let me read this to you. Here it is. Eye is not seen and ear is not heard. The wonderful things that God has for us. That's a song. And they stop right there. They stop on verse 9. Whoever wrote the song should have kept reading. So I'm reading this. That God has revealed to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. And it goes on to say that we can know the mind of the Lord. Not that we can instruct him or tell him anything, but he'll talk to us. He'll speak to us. Oh, and I read that. I thought, oh, Lord, is that true? I mean, I read it in his Bible, but I still wanted to know if it was true. Well, you know, it didn't take within a year. I read more scriptures about that. Well, what's happening when I'm praying? The Lord starts speaking to me. Yeah. I thought, wow. Oh, this is real. Oh, my, he does. And I'd ask him something else, and he'd speak to me. I thought, oh, my. And since then, I started hearing the voice of the Lord very often. And I was able to minister to other Christians who'd been saved as long as me or maybe longer. They never heard the voice of the Lord. I said, hey, look at this. Look at this. And they'd come back and say, it's real. He's given me instruction in my marriage. He's given me instruction on my job, with my finances. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to tantalize you with God's wisdom that is available to us if you're sincere and serious about this whole thing about being saved. Do you remember the time, Kirk, and this is years ago, I think it was in this building, I come over into the building to do something, talk to you about something, and we sat down, we started chit-chatting about baptism originally. Then we got talking about being saved. Two grown men sat there. We started laughing and crying over being saved. I don't know if you remember that. We just sat there. We were so caught up in our thinking to think, man, God saved us. Yeah, he did. We found out about this thing that was written before the foundation of the world. He actually saved us. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he's real. He worked for you. And we just sat there and laughed and cried about that. Two grown men. Now, I want to tell you, if you want to know these other spiritual things, you got to have a love for your salvation. You got to love it. You got to be so glad that Christ died for you. There's got to be a rejoicing and a real holding on to what you have and knowing how precious it is and the precious thing that was given for it. And then when you have a hold of that precious thing, other precious things will be started being opened up to you. I'm almost done. I want to talk about the power of God that's in us because of this multi-sided wisdom that he brought salvation and then deposited the Holy Spirit in us. I want to talk about that. Listen to this. This is really a good. Ephesians 1:16. Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, now listen to this, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's how you got saved. He gave you the revelation of the truth of Jesus. That's how you got saved. Well, it doesn't stop there. He wants to give more revelation. May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. How? In the knowledge of him. By knowing him, by getting close to him. And then Paul lists three things there. There's many more, but he lists three things he wants the believers to understand and comprehend by the Spirit of God. I'm going to pick on the last one. It says, wanting the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Man, Paul says, the only way you're going to know this power that's in you is by the revelation of Christ. That's the only way you're going to see it. I want you to see this power that dwells in you. And I'm praying for you that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation by getting close to Jesus. You're going to see this. There's a complementary verse in Ephesians 3, 20-21. I want to read that. Now to him who is able... And a lot of Christians quote this. This is a favorite quote for a lot of Christians when they're in a bad predicament or a situation. Now to him who is able to do... Now you got to listen to these adjectives, these words. It's easy to read past these kind of things and not really comprehend what God's saying to us. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly... above all we ask or think. Can you imagine somebody that has the power to do something more than you think? Or something more you're praying about? Oh, we worry about praying about something small that might happen. Or asking for something we need, it might not happen. Oh, he says, no, exceedingly abundantly what you even ask or think. Now, he's either lying or he's telling the truth. I believe he's telling the truth. Right. Now here's the clincher. Listen to what this next verse says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, this is a mind blower. According to the power that works in God Almighty, the power that works in the Holy Ghost, the power that works in, no, it says the power that works in us. That's hard to believe. I think what he's trying to get at, you guys got to see what's inside you. You've got to see this power that's dwelling in you that I gave you when you were born again, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Well, Bill Powell, what's some examples of that power? Well, I thought about that in my life. I thought, what kind of power have I seen? Well, I've seen the power of forgiveness. I've been offended greatly. I have been offended. My family has been offended greatly. And within the same hour that I was offended and my family was offended, I was able to forgive completely and have joy. That didn't come out of my own heart. Now, probably everybody in here has been offended one time or another somewhere. I'm telling you, this was a hard offense. And I say, well, overlook it within the same hour because of the condition of my heart by being close to the Lord. That's one thing that he gives you. And I'm telling you, forgiveness is needed. You don't forgive, it'll eat you away. You don't forgive, you're not forgiven. But he gives that power to us to forgive. What else? Well, I started seeing the power that I had within me. He wanted me to lay hands on the sick and see him get healed. I'm going to tell you, if you never had that happen yet, it's a mind blower to pray for an unsaved person. I remember praying for a guy that got run over by his own dad's Cadillac in my backyard when I was renting Ray's house. His name was Dave. He's about as tall as Michael. Tall, skinny guy, pushing him out of the snow. What happened? His dad backed up over him, broke his leg in two or three places. Had to take him back to the children's hospital. I come home from work, and Linda tells me, Howard ran over Dave. Sounds like a movie, don't it? Yeah. Mama got run over by the reindeer. David got run over by Howard, his dad. It wasn't funny at the time. I mean, it was a big Cadillac he ran over him with. But I mean, he's trying to push him out from the back. He got caught, the wheels moving, he backed up, ran right over him. Took him back to the children's hospital. A few days later, I come in from work. Linda says, remember Dave? I said, yeah. He goes, he called today. I said, yeah. We had him up for dinner all the time. They were unsaved people. They didn't know the Lord. We were always telling them about Jesus. I was always telling them about the power of God and how he can heal, how he can forgive. And I'm just figuring it's going right over their heads, you know, because they hadn't gotten saved yet. So we just kept feeding them and talking to them. I come in the house and Linda goes, Dave called. I said, did? She goes, yeah. Do you remember this? He goes, he wants you to go down and pray for him. He cut his cast off. Oh, man. I thought, there goes my reputation, baby. As a Christian, of all the people I've seen get healed. I thought, there it goes. He cut his cast off. Oh, and if God, I go pray for him and God don't heal him, everybody going to say it's my fault. I pray, tell the story. I told him to cut the cast off. Man, was I shook up. I'm like, well, I had an alternative. I had to go pray for him. Here, I cut the cast off. So I went down, went to the house. There's Howard sitting in the chair. Dave's laying on the couch. And see how loose my jeans are here? His right leg, his left leg, because it was his left leg. His right leg pant leg was loose like this. This one looked like there was a balloon in it. He cut that cast off, put his jeans back on, his leg just swelled up. I mean, there wasn't a wrinkle in it. I said, Dave, what did you do? He said, I cut that cast off. I'm waiting for you to pray for me. He's an unsaved man. He don't even know the Lord. So I preach the gospel to him again. I'll make sure I do this right. Tell him how Jesus died for him. Because I know you already told me that. Pray for my leg. This guy had more confidence and faith in the Lord than a lot of Christians I've ever seen. Now, this is honest, I swear to you, this is what happened. I laid my hand on him while I'm watching, looking at his leg, asking Jesus to heal it, and it looked like somebody pricked the balloon. He goes, psst. I looked at him, and he goes, oh. I said, you okay? He goes, yeah. He goes, what was that? I said, I think you're healed. Now I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm being tricked. I made him get up. He got right up off the couch. I said, go in the bathroom. I go in the bathroom. I said, pull your pants down. Now, I've never told a man to pull his pants down. But, I mean, I'm having a hard time believing what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? He took his trousers down. Man, he had two or three pins and stitches. Swelling was down. I said, move it. He goes, he was out playing the next day. Sometimes, see, we don't, We do not realize what God's given us and what he wants to do with us. And I was always begging him about healings. That's one thing I picked on and hearing his voice. And he just kept working with me. And even when I had a hard time, he did things like that for me so I could just, it encouraged me. And from that point, I was able to go pray for other people. And there's other things. What about, you know, when Jesus witnessed to the prostitute at the well? Wouldn't it be neat to be able to let that power of God just swell up in you and give you words? I've had that happen only a few times. Only a few times. Oh, it's a trip. It's a trip when that happens. And the Lord tells you, go say this. You're thinking, I can't say that. Go tell him this. I've asked him up to three times. You know, I've hid behind a book after he's told me about what to go say to somebody. I'm thinking, tell me again or I can't do it. And he tells me, one more time, I'll go do it. They were all true. We just don't realize this power that's in us by the Spirit of God. I don't know what else to say about that. I'm done. I hope. Now, these scriptures will just, you know, if you read them and you want to believe them, they will drive you bonkers to think, oh my gosh. Paul says, I want you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know the exceeding greatness and the power that's in you. Then he says, and he's going to tell you what this power is like. It's in you. He says, it's according to the working of his mighty power when he raised Christ from the dead. That's what's in you. That's an example of it. I love praying for people. I used to get, when I started seeing a lot of people get healed, I used to get afraid going to funeral homes. I swear to you, I got scared to go in because I read the story about the guy. Can't remember his name. Yeah, he went into the funeral home. The guy's laying there. He's a stiff. He's in a casket. He's dead. I mean, that caused about a two-year revival, didn't it? That was a big revival in England. Well, he's standing there, and the Spirit of God tells him, go lay hands on that man, and I'm going to raise him from the dead. From my memory, he wrestled the dead corpse out of the coffin, put him against the wall. And he said, come forth in the name of Jesus. And he backed up and he had to catch him. That'd be a little discouraging. Put him back against the wall. In the name of Jesus, I tell you to come forth. And he backed up and he had to catch him again. Well, by now, I don't know. I'd be thinking, I wish I'd never gotten him out of the coffin. I wish I'd never come to the funeral home today. The third time. Why is it always on threes? Why? I don't know. Always, a lot of times on threes. You push him back against the wall. I said, come forth in the name of Jesus. And that guy, Keller, come to him. He walked away from that wall. That's in history. That's a true story. They had, about a two-year revival. People getting saved left and right. Because they're seeing the truth. See, the Lord wants to use you like that. But somehow, you're carrying around this loaded shotgun, looking for a bird to shoot, and there goes the bird, and you go, these bullets really won't work. That's what you're doing. That's what I do a lot of times. The gun won't really fire. Yeah, it will. So it doesn't fire all the time. I think sometimes the Lord's trying to teach us things. One final thing I want to leave you with, and this is only a comment. It's something very exciting I read, and the Lord, I read over it. Ephesians is one of my favorite books. I've read over this, I don't know how many times, a lot of times. And it was too much to understand. I didn't catch it. So, you know, when you get a passage like that, you just keep reading. A lot of times. I mean, I'll bet you all do that. Yeah, that's a toughie. I'll just pass that up and keep reading. Well, I did that for a long time, and it didn't make sense to me. It didn't intrigue me. 2.5 months ago, I'm reading this, chapter 3 in Ephesians. I think it's 8 through 11. And I get down through it, like I always do. The Lord goes, go back and read that again. I said, okay. I read it again. I said, so what now? Didn't make any sense. Read it again. Oh my, start seeing it. Oh my, let me read this to you. Now, Paul's writing this. To the Ephesians. Listen to what he says. To me, Paul, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. What grace? This grace that was designed before the foundation of the earth, this salvation and the Spirit of God deposited in him when he got saved. That's what he's talking about. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, the forgiveness in Christ's shed blood, so you can be forgiven for your sins. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. Now he's talking about this great mystery, Christ in us, the transformation of his creation to be forgiven and changed. Listen to what he says here. To the intent, or for the reason, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God in salvation in Christ in you being changed, to the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, by you, to the principalities and powers and angels and archangels and fallen angels and every power that ever exists, that God would take the church and say, look what I did. Look at my manifold wisdom. It's almost like he's holding you up as a trophy. Now, when he says a church, he's not just talking about a club or a building, talking about people. And I think he's done that all down through the ages. When the apostles and the prophets, they actually ended up asking the Lord into their life and believing and being born again and being spirit-filled and serving God. I believe the Lord just took a handful of them and held up part of the church to the universe, to all these principalities and powers and angels and archangels and said, look at my manifold wisdom, what it did. Look at my creation. That's what he's going to do with you. Now, I don't know about you. When I read this, you say, Bill Powell, what's your motive for reading that? What do you get out of it? I'll tell you what I get out of it. I want to shape up. That's the first thing that come to my mind. Oh, my. I want God to be able to grab me and hold me up and say, look at my trophy. Look what I did with my manifold wisdom. Dude, that's what he's wants to do with you. That's what he's going to do with the church. I don't have any more revelation on it. That's it. If you get any revelation on this, let me know. Is that something? Yeah. I mean, he went clear from the beginning of the universe, designing all this in his heart, seeing it come to fruition, in the Spirit of God dwelling in man, being changed in his likeness. And then he says, look, this is my manifold wisdom. It gives me a different motive to do right. It just encourages me. I see he's really got a plan far, far past what I thought. That's a pretty neat scripture, isn't it? Hey, would you all stand? If the Lord's touched your heart, you know, maybe nobody in here is in this place, but if the Lord's touched your heart this morning and your eyes are being opened or you want them opened and you want prayer for this, I invite you to come down front. If you're an unsaved person, you've never asked Christ into your life, and all of a sudden, maybe months and weeks, a year before, and then finally today, the Spirit of God touches you and you're saying, man, this is real. I want it. I invite you to come down. We're just going to pray for you that your walk in the Lord, that you do successfully. So, you want to say something, Kirk? Oh, okay. Let's bow our heads. Father, I get so excited to tell people about things you show me. I get so excited. I get so excited to boast on you when you heal people or give words of knowledge. I get excited about that. I've told so many people about you picking me up out of that ditch under my motorcycle when I went to sleep. I mean, I've told so many people, and I know half of them think I'm crazy and don't believe it. But I get excited about boasting on you. And Lord, I just want these people to have access. These scriptures are like keys. They're keys for how we can obtain your wisdom and knowledge, Lord, and to be used by you. I ask you, please, just do a good work in these people's hearts, Lord, and mine too. And Lord, I ask you to prompt anyone who wants to be saved today that's never been saved and they see the things real, prompt them to come down where you might be. I'll pray with them. Just help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.